Trovi di pace.
Blue. Every new day your glory unfolds, bringing new life with riches unto the beauty of holiness. Bring worship anew. My greatest love is you. Oh, draw me deeper into your grace. River that flows. Your glory unfolds, bringing new life with riches unto the beauty of holiness. Bring worship in you. My greatest love is you. Oh, draw me deeper into your grace. River that flows. Wash over me, cleansing me through. My greatest love is you. Oh, draw me deeper into your grace. Holy place, wash over me, lend me through my greatest love, every new day. Your glory unfolds, bringing you life with riches unto the beauty of holiness. Bring worship on you. Me too.
Centurion of the band called the Italian Band. A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They answered Peter, Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. That was taken from the book of Acts, chapter 10. I would like you to call the words of the song for me. Not sing it, call the words of that song, please, sir. While the musicians play softly.
Your glory unfold, bringing new life with riches untold. The beauty of holiness brings worship anew. My greatest love is you. Oh, draw me deeper into your grace.
Into your grace.
Rivers that flow.
Rivers that flow.
From this holy place.
From this holy place.
Wash over me. Cleansing me through. My greatest love is you. Every new day, your glory unfold.
Glory unfold.
Bringing you life.
Bringing you life.
With riches untold.
Riches untold.
The beauty of holiness.
The beauty of holiness.
Brings worship anew.
Bring worship anew.
My greatest love.
My greatest love.
Is you.
Is you.
Oh, draw me deeper.
Oh, draw me deep.
Into your grace.
Into your grace.
Rivers that flow.
Rivers that flow.
From this holy place.
From this holy place.
Washed over me.
Wash over me.
Cleansing me through. My greatest love.
My greatest love.
Is you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, praise you. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Savior. Oh, praise the living God. We give you the praises and the honor. The thanks and the glory. Thank you for returning us back home safely from the USA. Thank you tonight, Father, for your blessings and all your grace. Thank you for bringing me back to the sheep one more time. Lord, we give you the praises and the honor and the glory for all that you have done and will continue to do. And even tonight, by extension, bringing this message to your people, you have saved the little scrums for them here at Bethel. Bless them all, Lord. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Such a glorious presence. Lord, such a glorious presence. We just thank you for it, and we praise you and honor you. We come out of our lives with a message into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. What a great meeting tonight. Oh, beloved, you realize that it is now 8:30 and you had been here since 6:30, many of you. And the only way that I can describe this meeting tonight is we are at the border of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I believe what has happened here tonight is going to happen before that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The people of God will sing and shout and praise the Lord and get in the Spirit like you got into the Spirit tonight. I don't think that there is any part of the world that one song could be sung for 1.5 hours and not lose its meaning. And yet, when we have come to an end, we feel that it is insufficient. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Only the Holy Spirit. And you who are present here tonight, you have experienced something that will happen just before the Lord outpour His Spirit. And the only thing that is missing here tonight is the ushering in of the Holy Spirit upon us. We only stop short here tonight to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. One step further, and you will go into that great realm of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We are on the verge of this thing. We are just on the verge. I believe that every true heart, every honest heart that came in with the right attitude tonight, brethren, that song was their prayer. And the words are so meaningful that you did not have to find words to pray. That if you get into the Spirit and you just listen to the song, yeah, you just listen to the music, yes, you sing the song, I believe that that prayer is coming from the heart. Yeah, it gives you words that you don't have within you. And I thank the Lord for such a meeting tonight. And to those of you who have not gotten into the Spirit tonight, to really receive this blessing before the preaching could come, you are certainly lacking something that you need to have. And that is to yield your life to the Lord. I believe that the most rocky's heart tonight could listen to the words of that song and have the moving of the Spirit in our midst, friends, and it must break their heart. And if it cannot break your heart, friends, something is wrong. Yes, and you need to get up and get her. I'm going to tell you a story tonight. And it is concerning the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And this came to me while in the U.S., and I was about to preach it. But then the Lord said this for you here. Out of the loaves and the fishes that was distributed at the chosen spot. And I was thinking of this great man, Cornelius. And I want to tell you that story. I will entitle this little story tonight, How Cornelius Received the Outpouring of the Spirit. Have you ever thought on that? How Cornelius received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If we could look back tonight and see how Cornelius, his house, and his people received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we could apply the same method and have the same approach, I believe that we can also get it. Anything that God does for His people, and that same approach is made to the Lord on the basis of faith, prophet of God said that God is under obligation to do the same for them. Amen. Healing, given out of the Holy Spirit, or anything that the Lord done for anybody. He said, because God is an unchanging God, and He cannot change His ways. And as long as you meet that requirement, then the Lord is under obligation to give you that same result. And I was looking at Cornelius. How Cornelius received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If I could find somebody in the Scripture who received the outpouring that we are looking for and follow in the same pattern and have the same approach and attitude, then I am confident that I am going to receive. And I'm confident that anybody that approach in the same manner will receive the same promise. So we tell the story tonight. We must have the same approach. Now this is a long story, 48 verses. But there are many things in that chapter 10 that I observed a little closer last night. And it speak of this great man. The end result of this story and all that was done was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is not talking about a shower of blessing like in 1906. This here is speaking of the article of Pentecost. The very same article that Peter, James, and John received in the upper room, that is what this is speaking about. In other places, when they contended with Peter in 10th, 11th chapter, Brother Peter said, it was the same Holy Ghost that we received at the beginning on the day of Pentecost. So for those who do not understand, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was outpoured in the house of Cornelius came for the first time to the Gentiles. Gentiles means nations. The nations that was not blessed like Israel was called Gentiles. It doesn't matter what were the name of those Gentile nations, Syrians, Lebanon, or the Babylonians, or whatever. They were all called Gentiles. God in His scripture called them dogs. Dogs. The Greeks were dogs. And Jesus confirmed that when that Grecian woman came to him and asked for the healing of her daughter. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. But she spoke the right words. Even the dog went it back the right way could receive a blessing. And she backed the right way. Oh, such glorious words that are written in the scripture. True Lord. She honored him yet as Lord. True Lord. Yes, but the dog eat the crumb that fall from the children's table. Go thy way, woman, for this saying, go, and thy daughter be made whole. Your attitude has a lot to do with it. And I want you to look into the heart of this story here to find the answer that we are trying to find. How Cornelius received the outpouring. That was just not the outpouring, friends, after it came to the Gentiles. This is the first time it is coming to the Gentiles, which were dogs. There was a door opened up to the Gentiles. They received a blessing that they had never, ever received before in human history. Through this man called Cornelius. I could type him to Abraham. That because of that man's life and devotion, God used him to open up the doors to the Gentiles. A type of Abraham. But let us speak a little bit of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile dog. And he knew that that is how the Jews considered them. And the Romans was ruling. They had the authority. They had the power. Caesar was ruling. And the Roman was a cruel people, above all people upon the earth. They invented the death of the cross. And the most immoral people that you could have found was the Roman. The most pleasure-loving people upon the earth was the Romans. Rome is in Italy. And after Cornelius, knowing how the Jews consider him and all other nations, friends, something happened to that man. And that is, he got interested in the God of Israel. Something took place. This man was a soldier who had 100 Roman soldiers, the greatest soldiers, under his authority. He was a rich man. He was a man of authority. And something happened to this man's heart. Salvation was not for him, as far as the law goes. He was considered as a dog, in so much that if a Jew will shake his hand, the Jew will go home and wash his hand and wash his face, because he touched a dog. The Romans, knowing that, I guess they killed a lot of the Jews because of hatred for them and their consideration for the other nations. You could imagine the persecution. But they had to live up to a certain standard to avoid all these dogs. So you could not bring a dog into the house of a Jew. Neither could you go in the kennel of these dogs. That is how bad it was. And you will hear it in this story where Brother Peter, he spoke of that. And he said, you know what a terrible thing it is for a Jew to enter into the house of any other nation. So now, looking back, this man was elected of God before the foundation of the world. We come to find out that. Chosen and foreordained of God. And him knowing all the thoughts of the Jews and the rabbis and all these holy men of how they think of the Romans, when something influenced that man to fall in love with the God of the Jews. And he loved God with all his heart. That it is written of this man, there was a certain man in Caesarea, named after Caesar, called Cornelius, the centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, a man that was a heathen, a Gentile, a dog, a cussbud, no doubt, one time, running women, killing Jews, killing men in wars. How many wars he fought, how many wars that he commanded his soldiers to kill the people when they conquered them. But he was a devout man. Something changed this man, is the point. Now, whatever changed this man, friend, it was very influential on his life. And the Bible said he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. All his house. Which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. I love that word, always. Prayed to God always. So something happened at some time in Cornelius' life that changed his vision from a life of Hollywood, a life of immorality, a life of bloodshed, a life of boasting in his authority as a Roman citizen, and not only a common Roman citizen, but, friends, a centurion that had the command of 100 soldiers under him. A rich man. History tells you of how Cornelius helped the brethren, and they kept services in his buildings afterward. He had money. He had all that he wanted in life. Roman citizenship was a great thing. When you read that, how Brother Paul used that, because he also had a Roman citizenship. And when he got into trouble, he said, "I am a Roman." Leaders and brother, all them big men tremble in their boots. And one man went and take him out of jail and wipe his wound. He said, "I never knew that thou was a Roman." And yes. He said, with a great price, I have purchased my freedom. And Brother Paul looked at him. He said, "But I was freeborn." It was death to touch a Roman, or to pass judgment on a Roman at that time, friend, without proper judgment. And he had the power to appeal to Caesar and stand before Caesar if anybody think that he was wrong. And when they gave him the wrong judgment, he said, "I appeal to Caesar." And he went down to Caesar, all in the will of God, that Caesar might hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that he was standing the judgment. Brethren, this was no ordinary man. This was a man who made it in the world. A man of authority. A man that could have gone the way of the world with all the women he wanted. Yes. He could have achieved, and he had already achieved. But something struck him somewhere that eternity will unfold. Did he read the Torah, which was the law of Moses? Did he come in contact with a rabbi? I do not know. But something influenced this man's life and make him turn from the Roman system to the law of God, the law of Moses. And whatever struck that man, he bowed to it. And he had a vision of eternal life. He knew that the God of Israel was the true God. He was convinced that if I live according to the law, I would not go to that dreadful place called hell. I will gain eternal life. I will live with the Jews in the kingdom of David, which is soon to come upon the earth. To believe the law, he had to believe that. And that man had to believe that the Roman kingdom is going to come to naught. But the kingdom of the Messiah is going to reign. Kingdom of the Messiah will be an everlasting kingdom. No doubt he read the book of Daniel, of the stone cut out of the mountain, and smote the image on his feet. Yes, and the stone itself became a kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom. And that man believed that with all his heart. Faith in what he read, faith in what he heard. Friends, it never said that he was a proselyte. That man was living his life right at home. And maybe he could not even enter the Jewish temple because of the kind of man that he was. A man who shed blood. Maybe he never qualified to be a Jewish proselyte. But the man loved God. Oh, and let me say this here, friends. There are many a people that is in religion, Catholic organization, and who follow this message today, who love God. And a devout man. Yes. Waiting on the moving of the water. Great thing had happened in Jerusalem, my friends. John the Baptist passed through. Jesus passed through. The great Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. And Cornelius never catch on by divine revelation to none of that. But he heard of it. All those things happened right in Jerusalem, friend. John the Baptist, Jesus, and the great outpouring. And this man had no knowledge of the meaning, the significance of those things. A lot of things happen today upon the face of the earth. God said in Malachi 4. Things happened from 1933 right down to 1965. And the elect of God that are still ignorant of these things. But they are devout men. They are men that are living according to the light that they see and understand. Right in religion, right in organization, right in the Himalaya mountain, right in China, right in Japan, right in Africa, my friends. They are devout men like Cornelius. And you must have these men now upon the face of the earth to receive that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They are there. I have no doubt. Brethren, that man, whatever it was, when he heard what he heard, he surrendered his life and come down from the top of the ladder, right down to the bottom of the ladder, and humbled himself and had to accept that he was a dog. And the Jews were children of God. If he had believed the law, which he did, and if he was a devout man, full of arms, and what the Bible say about this man, that man had to humble his heart from a Roman centurion and come right down and admit in his own self that what Moses said is right. I am a dog. And I'm convinced that I'm a dog because I was an immoral man. I'm convinced that I'm a dog because I never knew God. I worship idols. I'm convinced that I'm a dog because of the life that I live on my forefathers. How they lived. And that man humbled himself from a Roman centurion and gave up his Roman spirit. Friends, how did Cornelius receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Except a man humble himself, he shall in no wise receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the man heard the gospel, and not the gospel, but the law, and he believed and humbled himself. And after humbling himself, he was going to manifest that humility and his beliefs in a very peculiar way. And that was two main things. And that is, he gave alms to all the people. And he prayed always to God. Brethren, you know what it will cause a man to give alms? and pray always to God? Because when he looked back and see where the Lord brought him from. Yes. And he will ever be grateful and thankful to God all the days of his life. Yes, if he really sees where God brought him from and where he is standing today. You know why people cannot pray, brethren? It's because they don't realize where God brought them from. Because they have not experienced that. And then there is no gratitude in their heart unto God because they never experienced that. If you get something from a man and you know that he gave you that thing, you've got to be thankful. You've got to be thankful. But if you are not sure if he's really given you that, you cannot be thankful. And that is what drove this man to give alms and to pray always. The man had a vision of life. And there were two things that I would imagine that he had before him. And that is, I want to gain eternal life. And I don't want to go to that dreadful place that the Jews speak about called hell. Regardless of my nation not believing that. Regardless of anybody, friends and family or whoever, that does not believe that, I believe it. So first of all, how did he receive the Holy Ghost? He believed the light that he seen and walked in that light. There are people that are candidates for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that are yet in religion and yet in organization and who are yet following this message, my brother, and sitting under interpretations. And they don't know that they are wrong. There are some Cornelius outside there. And that is what it takes, friend, to bring this power of God. These things that I am talking about contributed to Cornelius receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not only for him, friend, but for his house and for his friends and for the whole Gentile world, you and I. Have you ever seen it like that? My beloved, through Cornelius, a door was opened to the Gentiles that we might be candidates for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It is not something lightly I'm talking about, friend. That man lived such a life. He came from such a depth of sin, depth of immorality. He climbed down, friend, from such a ladder. Roman citizen. This man no doubt died as a martyr. Eventually for his faith. Brethren, I want you to catch this message right here. How did Cornelius receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? He was completely surrendered to God and walked in the light that he seen for his day. So he was sincere and honest after eternal life. He was thankful to God for showing him that much. And he was desperate about it. Yes, sir. He prayed always. And then, brethren, he was so grateful and thankful for the little light that God showed him on Moses' law and heaven and hell, that he took what the Lord gave to him and distributed it to the people, not only the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And he distributed it to the people. Now hear the gracious words, brother. The attitude of this man was the thing that caused him to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The attitude to what he heard, the respect to it, the respect to that promise. Esau had no respect to the promise, and he lost it. Jacob had respect to the promise, and he received it. And Cornelius had such great respect to the light that the Lord showed him. And I will show you the respect in the reading just now. That because of the attitude of this man toward life, it will bring upon him a gift that he never dreamt about. Never anticipated. Never heard about. Never expected. This man knew nothing about a token, you know, brethren. He never knew nothing about an outpouring, you know. He never knew that a Savior died on Calvary to forgive him for all his sins, you know. How many days Cornelius went around the Jewish tabernacle and said, Lord, I'm a dog. I'm not fit to come into your temple. But I honor you, and I thank you, and I praise you for helping me to understand that you are God. Never knew about a Savior. Never knew that a man died right on Calvary to forgive him for all his sins. Redwin and that man believed so much. He went and influenced his wife, Solia, to believe the same thing that he believed. And he influenced his children to believe the same thing. And the Bible says he was a devout man. And one that feared God with all his house. He feared God. Feared God, brethren. I don't mean to say you have a fear of torment. It means you respect God. I respect his temple over there. I respect the rabbi. I'm not worthy to talk to him, but I respect him. Yeah. I respect what I read in the law of Moses. My hands should not be touching the Torah. If the Jews catch me, they will cut my neck out. Only the priest supposed to have that and read it. Maybe a man of authority caused him to get one of those books. Friends, and Cornelius, the Bible says he was a devout man. Another place, brother, he was a just man. And you know something? That man's testimony was so great that even the soldiers under him testified the same and said that our master is a just and upright man. And that man influenced his wife, brethren, that she put away her mini dress. He cleaned up his house. She grew out her hair. She used to attire herself, no doubt, like the Romans in that time. The Roman was a people of sports. Called his sons together. Sons, the gods of the Romans are not God, but the God of the Jews is the true and living God. How he labored to turn his sons and daughters to the God of Israel. Turn his wife to the God of Israel. And he ruled his house and convinced them that they were dogs too. But they could be saved. And he wasn't sure how he was going to be saved as a Gentile dog, because there was no salvation for these dogs. The door was not yet even open up, friend. But the man continued to serve the God of Israel with a hope that he'll be saved one day. He regardless of the laws and the covenants only belong to the Jews, I'm taking a chance here with my whole house. Somehow God will have mercy upon me and upon my house. Maybe if I give some alms, it might help. Friends, take this, Jewish brother, you're a poor man, take this. Here is some money. Over here, let me help the poor. It might help me to enter the kingdom of God. There is not a hope for me in the world according to the law. Let me try this. You see that humility, that desperation. Brethren, and he prayed always to the God that considered him as a dog, just like that woman. He had the right attitude. He prayed to that God. Say, God, I know that I'm a dog because you wrote that in the Bible. I'm compared to an unclean beast. Yes. He said, but I come to you on hands and knees today and I ask you not to let my soul go to hell. Make a way for me that I will enter the kingdom of God, that I might live somewhere. When you set up your kingdom upon the earth, your everlasting kingdom, I want a little place, dear Lord. I don't know how you're going to do that, but I believe you're going to do it. Boy, here is a man that is praying beyond hope. What about you and I? Brother, that have all the chances in the world and all the grace, my brother, that God bestowed upon us. And yes, I believe he is bound to hear us. I believe that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost is our portion. Yes, sir. I believe it. Then that man had a complete change of attitude. Now, what caused Cornelius to receive this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is his approach to God. He had a certain approach. And the man's approach was right. His approach was one of faith. Beyond hope. Faith beyond hope. He read in the book there that a Gentile could not be saved. Beyond hope, he still believed. Now that attitude of the man and his approach will bring an angel to him. Brethren, if we maintain the right attitude and have the right approach, angels will appear to us. Not only that, God will send his lifeline to you, his servant to you. He knows where that servant is abiding. He knew that he was by the seaside. He will send that servant to you. He knew calling Cornelius by name. Brethren, that caused Cornelius to receive the outpouring was the same approach that caused the angel to appear. They draw the man of God from Joppa into his house. Contrary to the law. It is the same attitude, friends, that caused Cornelius with his whole household to be born again while the word was preached. Caused them to put on the seven virtues within that sermon and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You talking about an approach. Brethren, I'm trying to help you to see the heart of Cornelius. What it is that was going to cause this, yes, and attract the attention of the Almighty. Don't you know that you cannot receive that great outpouring, the article of Pentecost, until you are born again and have seven virtues? There was a miracle that took place in that house. that never happened in all the Bible. And I believe that in this age of grace, that God is able to do the same thing for the Cornelius. The many Cornelius around the world today, devout men that are walking in the light that they see because of the shortness of the hour. I believe the Lord will do the very same thing again. If he did it back there, he is able to do it again. There are some of them in Africa. I believe there are some in China and India. I believe there are those in Philippines that are sitting there today, knowing this message and devout men. There are people in organization who are devout men and women. That friends, they are just waiting for the moving of that water. And the Lord is going to lead them to the right servant of God, the right shepherd, in the right time, and they will receive the same penny as those who work from the morning. The 11th-hour Gentile worker, I believe they will receive the same penny. Lord, hasten the day. I'm a grace believer, friend. I'm a grace believer. What about you, friend? I want to say that there are men and women that can read themselves into this scripture here today and say there was a group of people living in Trinidad, living in the United States, living in the Caribbean, and living in certain parts of the world. Yes. And a devout people. Yes, sir. And people that feared God. People that feared God with all their house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Don't be a coward. Friends, if that fit Cornelius, I believe that that fit us today. Even a thousandfold. Even because we have the truth in our hands. Even because we love God. We look forward for his promise. We fear God. We believe his word. And we are trying with all of our hearts to obey the ABC of the message. Amen. Brother Cornelius, my brother, was trying to obey the ABCs of the message that he knew. And I want to say with all sincerity, under this revelation, friends, there are men and women that are devout. Men and devout women. Yes, living with a hope. They have obeyed the ABCs. They have made sacrifices and leave husband, leave wife, leave children, leave friends. Leave my brother profession, money, and all this world behind them. And faithfully serve the Lord. Even in this tabernacle. And other tabernacles that uphold the truth. Friends, people that sacrifice their lives. Support this message with all their heart. Yes, the years go and the years come. Decades of time pass, but I have news for you tonight. Sometimes it seems like the Lord have not heard your prayer, and he had no regard for your alms that you give out. I learned something that I was not familiar with, my brothers. And this is what I learned here. Hear what this angel say. He saw a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine hand are come up for a memorial before God. What did you learn there, Brother Bruce? Brethren, we could be praying and praying and praying for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and we could be giving alms every week and every month and every year. And it seems like if there is no reward for it. But there come a time when the alms and the prayers come up before God as a memorial. And when it come up before God as a memorial, my beloved, the Lord is going to smile upon you, and then he is going to reward you and bless you. So what I am saying, friend, continue to pray. Continue to give your alms. Continue to live your Christian life. Continue to obey the ABCs. Until, my brother, it comes up before God as a memorial. It looked like your prayers are not going to be heard. Your alms will never be rewarded. Never think that way. It just have to come up before the Lord as a memorial. That's the only thing that it is waiting for, to come up to the Lord as a memorial. He has them stored up in vials for the right time. And he commands the angel, he said, take up that vial there and loose that vial, bring it before me. And all the prayers go up and all the alms go up as a memorial before God. There is a reward to follow. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Mordecai one time in the book of Esther did a great deed. He saved the king's life. And they had that recorded in the book. And one night the king could not sleep. The Holy Spirit was moving upon him. He said, bring out the books and read. And as he brought the books, my brothers and sisters, he came to the part of Mordecai. How Mordecai, my brother, destroyed the plot. Yeah, that was to kill the king. Yes. And then the king looked around and said, and what great deed had been done to Mordecai for what he has done for the king, save his life. And they come to find out and said, nothing, my lord. And then the king ordered, my brother, because it came to him as a memorial. The deeds of this man come to him as a memorial. And when it came to him as a memorial, my brother, the king commanded and he elevated Mordecai to about the second ruler in the kingdom. Our prayers are being, my brother, right now, I believe it's coming up to the Lord as a memorial. And as those alms and prayers come up before the Lord as a memorial, the king will command. Oh, yes. And when the prayers come up there before the Lord, and the vial was opened, beloved, he remembered Cornelius. Everything was working right in place. And he summoned an angel. He said, you come here. I want you to go down and speak to Cornelius for me. It's about time that the doors of the Gentiles are opened and I pour forth my spirit upon them. He said he pray and he pray and he give alms and he don't know what he's praying for. Never heard of token, never heard of outpouring, never heard of Jesus giving eternal life. Never heard of John the Baptist as the forerunner. Never heard of the day of Pentecost. All that Cornelius was doing was, brother, doing his duty. Praying, giving alms, feared God, and my brother, keeping his household in the faith, believing. He was still working. He was still a centurion. Yes, he still had to contend with that spirit of the Romans. He still had to suffer reproach. And he will confess to them that he is a Gentile dog. He will have mercy on the Jews. Friends, but he did not know what was going on. There are people today that have never heard of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Don't know one single thing about what is happening here in the Western world. And they don't know about the highlight of Brother Branham's message is another outpouring of the Spirit. But they are devout men. They are living the message. They are living good in organization. They love God and they are, my brother, in religion today. Yes, but the prayers and the alms will come up as a memorial before Almighty God. When their prayers come up before God as a memorial, my brother, the Lord is going to send them, my brother, to find the right man that could help them. He is going to send them to the right man. Oh, the story, my brothers and sisters, is wonderful. I will read it from the Bible here now. You don't have to turn, just look up, we're going to read the story. I cannot get away from the second verse, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house. You are talking about living, brother, the law. Feared God with all his house. Cornelius, that great centurion commandant. Don't do that, son. The God of Israel don't like that. We cannot eat blood in the house. Wife cannot put on that miniskirt. God of Israel is going to send us to hell. You imagine that man being a pastor to his house. And brethren, how many years he had been praying before his arms came up before God as a memorial. Eternity will unfold. But he obeyed the ABC. Do you understand what I'm saying, brethren? If we approach the same way as Cornelius, we must get the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He appreciated what he heard. He loved what he heard. He ordered his house in the Word of God. Yes. He was thankful to God for the light that he seen. Brethren, he was kind-hearted to his fellow men. And he was praying desperately. And he had faith that God is going to save him somehow. Even though he was a dog. It touched the Lord to see a man that could not enter the temple. Praying, my brother, and past that temple, he said, one day I hope the Lord make a way for me to go in there. So he went to pray this day. He saw in a vision. The vision is not a dream. You open your eyes, and you are transported into a different dimension. And you see that while you are waking. He saw in a vision, evidently, I like that word, evidently. It was not an imagination, nor something hatched up. Evidently, about the 9th hour, which is 3 o'clock in the day, and you can see how he's practicing the Lord, that is the hour that they used to pray in the Jewish temple. 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And he's praying in his house. A 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Friends, if you live true to the light that you see, God knows you by name. And he will call you by name. He knows you, friends. He know who is Sam. He know who is Ram Kumar. Beloved, he know who is Rogers. He know these little sisters, Sister Wendy. He knows you, friend. And he sent the angel down there. He go down to Cornelius. And when he looked up on him, he was afraid. He had never seen an angel before. He was afraid. You will be afraid. Brother Branham was afraid. And said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." The approach to God that this man had brought an angel down from heaven. My God. But this angel could not preach unto him salvation. He needed a master, a preacher. The angel desired to look into these things and they was forbidden. Angel come down and could not speak salvation and preach Jesus to him and preach John the Baptist to him and preach the outpouring to him. Hear what this angel is going to do in great authority and power. That angel knew his place. And he said unto him, "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner." My God, don't these things make waves of glory pass through your system? Angel of God speaking. He knew where that servant of God was. Oh my God, he knew where that servant of God was. Everybody say, "And now send men to Joppa." Send men to Joppa. Yes. "And call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner." That is, you know, tanning skin. "Whose house is by the seaside." He knew where both of them was. Peter being a fisherman, he chose that certain place. "He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." The angel could not tell him the way of salvation. He said, "Listen to me, send down to Joppa. And get this man called Peter. He's going to tell you what to do. Because your prayers came up to me. And in that prayers I am reading that you are bawling out for salvation. You are crying out for eternal life. You are crying out for salvation. And what you prayed 30 years ago, reach me. And I'm sending my angel to you. Yes, and I want to answer your prayers now concerning salvation." He said, "But send them to Joppa and get a man. He's going to tell you what you ought to do." My God, this story is so long. But sweet. So now God knew where Peter was. Peter had now raised a sister from the dead. He was in a certain town, and they said, "Quickly, come quickly over here." He went across there and put all the unbelievers out. And he just what? And Tabitha, her name was, or whatever. Dorcas, yeah. And she was a seamstress. There were people like us. She used to sew a lot of clothes and give to the brethren. And they start crying and showing Peter all the dress and different things. And, you know, say, "Go outside. Come outside, my brother." And he just cried to her. And she arose. Yes. And hold her hand and walk out through the door, open the door again, and presented her life unto the sister that was crying. So now he was tired from preaching. So he went down by the seaside. And he was with another Peter called, Simon, called the tanner. And the Lord knew where he was. The Lord knew where Peter was. Simon Peter was. He said, "Now, not to mix up the two Simons. Now, you might bring the wrong Simon." He said, "One of them surname is Peter. Art was Simon Peter, right?" God giving direction. My Lord. You talking about our God giving directions? Now, between here, I don't have the time, brethren, to tell you about some things here, but I want you to see how these men never trust nothing
They never wanted to be deceived. And you could see, my brother, the kind of personality that these men were. And the influence that Cornelius had with the life that he lived. So I will tell you some of the story. All right. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. Now you see the kind of a man of authority that this was. That was the man's bodyguard who waited on him continually. If he walked that way, that soldier with his armor and his helmet, and you could picture him, he walked behind him. And he had other soldiers there guarding. Yes, and let me tell you something, friend. Cornelius lived such a life before those soldiers around him that he was able to convince them that an angel did appear to him. And he called the chief soldier, the chief bodyguard. And brothers and sisters, at 3 o'clock that happened, and he spoke to them. I believe they never slept that night. And he spoke to those men, and he got about 3 men, yes, devout men. He said, listen to me, I've seen a vision, such and such and such. This is the direction. When you go up there, do so and so. Yes, there was 2 Simon living in the house. Don't bring the wrong one for me. Right? Ask the man if he is Simon Peter. The angel specified surname Peter. Get the right one. And he spoke to those men, and those men had so much confidence in the words of Cornelius that they believed. And beloved, they took a journey to Joppa. So now that happened one day, they departed the next day. The vision came one day, and then departed the next day. Now look how God operates. We're going to hurry, huh? Yes, now. All right. So they departed. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now remember that centurion servant that came for healing for his servant? He said, when I say unto one, go, he goeth. And when I say to one, cometh, he cometh. Now here is what is going on. This is a soldier here under the centurion. He said, go, and he had to go. Come, and he had to come. So they were, listen, them Roman soldiers was not no joke men, brethren. You read the story of Josephus, history. You're talking about men, gallant men, cruel men, bloodthirsty men. Yes, and you're talking about order in the Roman kingdom. Yes. All right. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the house to pray about the 6th hour. All right, that's 12 o'clock. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now, what's something? See, my brothers and sisters, how the Lord deals with his people. He is using Peter's natural hunger to bring unto him a vision in a trance. You remember my experience in the wilderness? Yes. I was thirsty to death. Yes. And when the Lord came to me, my brother, he said, as the coolness of this breeze quench your thirst, so shall this man's message quench your thirst for righteousness. You see how the Lord operates? Yes. So now somebody could pass that off and say, man, I was hungry, so I just dreamed that. No, the Lord wait for certain conditions. All right, now I don't have time very much to pick out those things. You will have to look into it, read your Bible. All right. So Peter was up there. He was hungry. They was preparing the food. The sisters in the house, ordinary people like me and you. He was staying there and preparing the food. And he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open. And a certain vessel descending unto him. And descending unto him. As it had been a great sheet knit at the 4 corners and let down to the earth.
wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And this sheet coming down is a vision. A sheet coming down three times, it come down and went up back. Four-footed beasts. The Jews were taught not to eat any of these unclean beasts like hog and everything that did not part the foot and birds and everything like that. They scorn it. All right, so now this was filled in the sheet. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now you could imagine he was taught from a child not to eat none of these nasty things. A Jew. And then a voice come from heaven, "It got to be the devil." Far as Peter was concerned, that got to be the devil. And he was not going to trust this vision, you know. Watch him carefully. And then he was taught not to eat all these nasty things. But Peter said, "No, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." He was a devout Jew. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Brethren, that was us. You see, all them nasty beasts in the coverlet, knitted at the end, brethren, that was Brother Bruce, Cornelius, Brother Branham, yes, and every one of us. And that is why the Jews never eat it in the Old Testament, even because that was representing the other nations. My God. He said, "Not so, Lord." He said, "Don't call nothing that I cleanse common or unclean." He died for you at Calvary. And he had already died for us at Calvary. Yes, before he gave Peter this vision. He said, "I done cleansed it already. I cleanse it at Calvary. And don't call what I clean up at Calvary common or unclean, Peter." Argument. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the man which was sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Now, I hope you've seen the accuracy of God and the accuracy of a vision. God speak to Cornelius by a vision. It got to work out. Nothing cannot change. And at the same time, God spoke down there. He spoke to Peter up here. Right. And while Peter was doubting this vision, he's not going to trust this thing. Because this vision here looking like the devil talking, to send me to eat things that I never eat and was commanded in the scripture not to eat it. So now, while he doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the man which was sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Hear how the Lord had to come and talk to him. And called and asked whether Simon was surnamed Peter will lodge here. They're going with the surname. Yeah, they cannot afford to make a mistake. All right. While Peter taught on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee." Three men seek thee. All right. "Arise, therefore, and get thee down. And go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the man. Observe this carefully. See how a man of God don't just grab at any light that flash and thunder that roll. Brethren, God spoke to Peter twice. Confirmed. That was God. And hear how Peter will act.
Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? That's all, and he stood up there. You're talking about men. My brother will check everything before they yield. God spoke to this man 3 times, and he confirmed these things. He never went out yet telling them his vision and God sent me and all these things. Hear the sternness of this man. He already had something against the Gentile. Then Peter went down to the man which was sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And that's all. Nothing more. Now hear these men. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. You're talking about trained centurions, so on. You're talking about orators. Pick out the best orators to go and meet this man up at Joppa. Yes. And they have to carry a correct message. They was convinced of that centurion life. That they could speak firmly with faith, with boldness, with assurance. Yes. That's this centurion, Cornelius, is a just and devout man. He has the right testimony before the Jews and all men. Yes. An angel appeared to him. Yes, sir. And say, to send for thee, that we may hear words of thee. My God. He was warned of God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house. That's a terrible thing, to go into the house of this Gentile and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in. Watch that. These dogs don't supposed to come inside of this Jew's house. But he called them in. I don't know where they put them to sleep. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. I love that. If I was there, I was going down to see this miracle. My God, are you not enjoying this thing? Yeah. Brethren, I was going down. So I guess Simon at that house said, Peter, I'm going with you. Yeah. And other brethren who were Jews there said, we are going with you. We got to see this thing. Peter is going into a Gentile house for the first time. He brought in Gentiles inside of this man's house and put them to sleep that night. And now he takes them up and he's going in their company. Something great is going to happen. Yes, and those brethren had no plans of any trip. Man, I tell you, they pack up their bundle, get a little thing on their back. My brother put a little roti in their pocket, and they went down the road with Peter. It take about a day's journey. All right. So, look at this. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and their friends. Let me stop there a minute. This man believed that angel so much. Brethren, he called all his friends. Let me tell you something. When you believe something, you really believe something, you want the whole world get it. Yeah, you want the whole world get salvation. You want, my brother, everybody to see this man that the angel talk about. This angel could not preach salvation. He sent for a man to preach salvation to the man. And I don't think that Cornelius slept for them days. He went about calling all his friends and kinsfolk. My beloved, I believe he had a big house. And he crammed them inside of this. And you see what they found Cornelius? They didn't have no telephone to call, you know. Friends, that man was anxiously waiting by his front door, and in the distance, he could see a group of men coming. He said, I make out my faithful soldier. That could be them. Brethren, and everybody was in desperation and anticipation because an angel sent for a man. And they believed Cornelius. It's quite a scene here. I don't have time. But it's quite a scene. And and on the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. In other words, this thing is good for you. Yeah. Auntie, uncle. Yes. Brother, sister. This thing here is good for you. Yes. An angel appeared to me and sent for a man. If that angel is so great, this man has to be greater than the angel. That's the thinking of Peter. So hear what's going on. Yes, sir. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. See how them men, brothers and sisters, let that speak for itself. Brethren, here is a centurion soldier. Beloved, having 100 soldiers waiting at that house, no doubt. And in humility, he knew that that angel sent for that man. That man had to be appreciated. And in front of everybody, a Roman is now going to bow down to a Jew. Yes. An old fisherman. And he ran across there. Beloved, get down on the floor. Yes. Raise his hands and worship. Oh, here how a man of God behaves. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. A real servant of God. Oh, beloved, that word of God in you will cause men to bow at your feet. I'm telling you the truth. When people, brother, appreciate the word, they appreciate God's servant. We'll do anything for that servant of God. Yes, sir. He did not know. He came from idolatry. He did not know that he wasn't supposed to bow down and worship. He used to worship idols. Yes, and he bowed down and started to worship Peter. You imagine a man coming there with a token friend. A man come in there who received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This man, my brother, was sent for by an angel of God. Yes. And everybody in the house wondering, what will be the words that this man will speak? Angel never tell them what this man is going to tell them. Yes. He said, ask him what to do. According to your prayers, ask him what to do. The soldiers and them over there, they said, to send for you. Yeah, that we may hear words of thee. But they don't know what he's about to say. My God. The house filled. People all in the yard. My brothers and sisters, people sat on top of the stove. All on top of the bed. They put enough people in the house. Because an angel sent for a man. And everybody believed Cornelius. Everybody believed Cornelius because of the life that the man lived. My God, give me a chance. Yes, sir. And he bowed down to the man. He picked him up by his hand. And he said unto him, he started speaking one time. And he said unto him, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God had showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You talk about presentation, man? Huh? You talking about trained preachers, brother? Presentation? He pick him up, my brother, and he start talking to them one time. He say, you know Cornelius, you are familiar. All your Romans know that we consider you as dogs. And what an unlawful thing it is for a Jew to come into a Roman house. He said, you are familiar with that. Yes. He said, what? I was warned of God. The only reason that I come into this dog house, the only reason I come into this kennel, is because God met me on the way. And he telling me that what he clean, don't put it on clean at all. That's the reason that I am here. The man, my brother, already set the stage for his summon. My Lord. Yes, sir. And he says a terrible thing. Therefore, he said, now Peter continue his sermon now. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. Yes, he said, the reason I come here without arguing with God is because therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, this man interested in this vision up to this point yet? Hear how Peter speaking. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Let the vision play out. So now, Cornelius, I come down here, I receive the invitation of these three men. I am asking you for what intent have you sent for me? And Cornelius being a wise man. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. Until this hour. Man, how are you going to eat when an angel appeared to you? How are you going to eat when you know the servant of God is coming down to give you counsel from the Almighty himself? Amen. I'm fasting and praying to this very hour. Yes, sir. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. We learned that the angel was in the form of a man. All right. And said, Cornelius, thy prayers are heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I send to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that God, that are commanded thee of God? Oh, yes. My God. Oh, beloved, I wish I had a couple hours. Yes. You're talking about men, brethren trained. Yes. Peter asked him a question, and that centurion, all trained up according to the Roman army, he gave him the experience, and he said, God send to call you. Yes, sir. And send you to call because you have something to say. I don't have nothing to say. I send you because God said that you have something to say. Yes. In other words, I have already spoken, start speaking. Now Peter is going to deliver his message. Hear the approach of this message. That's the same way we will present it. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. You get in that revelation now. He is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Building on his vision that he seen. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. My God. Imagine the gracious words and how people was on the edge of the seat because an angel sent for a man by the seaside to speak the words of God to tell them what God had commanded him. Yes. And here, I tell you, and Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation he had feared him, and work at righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Amen. My beloved, there was no two cents preacher, you know. They tell you what they have to tell you. You either believe or not. He is the Lord of all. Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Yes. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us who did eat, drink with him, and after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, the true his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. My God, all that believe in him, all Jews and Gentiles. Yes, and as he presented my brother the pardon and the forgiveness and the plan of salvation, which was the prayers, my brother, of the centurion that was stored up in the vial. Yeah, that angel could not tell him that, but he said, go and get a preacher down there. And the preacher is going to preach peace to you by Jesus Christ. And he's going to preach the remission of sins on you. My beloved, faith built up in that house so much. And whatever went on there, friends, with them raw Gentile and heathens, gave them a born-again experience when he presented the Messiah, the coming of the Lord. That is the born-again experience, the coming of the Lord. Yes, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And while that meeting going on there, friends, and the preaching going on, here these people so believe that on the testimony of the centurion, and they're just gobbling up everything, and they sit on the edge of the seat, my brother. You can see them hanging my brother from the rafters. Out, my brother, some saying amen inside of the bedroom. Oh, my God. And as Peter, my brothers and sisters, continue, hear what the Bible said. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word of God. My God, brothers and sisters, one message, and they was born again, they received the virtues, and my brother, they get what they had under their Pentecost. I am saying that he could do the same thing again. Yes. And the foundation is now being laid throughout the world. And they have devout men in the message, devout men in organization, devout men scattered across the world. And while we yet speak the words, the Holy Ghost will fall upon them. Beloved, the faith, let the musician come. The faith and the grace that was upon this man was so great that it bypassed water baptism. I said it bypassed water baptism. Here the order to get the Holy Ghost. Peter declared it on the day of Pentecost himself. He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The same Peter that said that on the day of Pentecost, my beloved, the faith of Cornelius, the sincerity, the honesty, the approach, to God of Cornelius, my brother, bypass water baptism and bypass the formula on the day of Pentecost that Peter himself gave the people. And while he yet spake the words, my brothers and sisters, they heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues of fire sat upon each one of them, like it happened in the upper room. First the pillar of fire appeared, and the pillar of fire break up in pieces and go, my brother, to the different ones. And the Bible says all of them received the Holy Ghost that heard the word. My God, my brothers and sisters, I believe that we are going to get that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. My brother, look how much grace we have. We are following the ABC. We have followed John the Baptist. We believe the opening of the seal. We believe the word of God. We are bound for the promised land. We must get it. If the house of Cornelius get it, my brother, we're bound to get it. We have been waiting for it. Don't doubt nothing, my brother, but believe in your heart. Oh, my God. They were astonished, my beloved. Yes, sir. And they of the circumcision, that is the Jews, which believe, were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. If I was in that house, mother, I would ask him to tarry certain days. And he's tarrying there, beloved. He preached other messages and instructed the Gentiles for the first time. Yes, and how to live, how to conduct themselves, and taught them many things of the gospel. Yes, they asked him to hold on here. We beg you to stay with us. Yes, an angel come down from heaven and send for a man to speak. Yes, sir, who have commandments from God to give unto these people. That is where your salvation is. Tell me, my brother, that you don't have to learn from a man. And you ain't going to follow a man now. And you are going to follow an angel that is speaking to you. You are lost already. No, if an angel ever appeared to you, friend, he's going to direct you to a man with the word of God. And the keys to the kingdom of God. Peter had the keys to the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knew that. He sent for Peter to come and turn that key for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon the Gentiles. I believe we ought to have some more Cornelius upon the face of the earth today. There is a devout man that will receive this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. My beloved, I have great hope. We have great consolation. I believe that they're scattered about everywhere, right in the message, right in the Catholic Church, devout men. And God will lead them to his servants with the word of the Lord. Give us a little song. Let us stand, brethren. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for such faith. Oh God, I believe that we have many like Cornelius who have sacrificed.
Amazing grace.
Who wait on your
heart. Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound. Like me,
a wreck,
lost.
but now I see.
Praise.
for your word tonight, O Lord. Thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. For your grace, Lord. Your grace is so great to us. Thank you, Father, for sending us the right man in this hour to hear the word of life. Thank you very much, Lord. Bless and undertake for your children. Lord, go with them, be with them until tomorrow. We pray and ask these blessings in Jesus' name. For his honor and glory, and the congregation say, amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise your name.
Thank you.
Thanksgiving be unto his name. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you. Service is now dismissed. The Lord bless you till tomorrow.